Jesus is the lifter of our head. He's the one who lifts us up when, after we have banged our head against the opposition around us, banged our head against the systems of this world, banged our head against the devil himself, and perhaps against some of his people, we need to have our head lifted up. Jesus is the lifter of our head. And he'll lift your head up if you'll simply ask him to. More than that, he will guard you and be a shield about you as you leave here today, so that when you come up against this opposition in the days that are ahead, that it won't hurt you, it won't harm you. The shield of faith that he puts up around about us has the capacity to quench all of the fiery darts that are fired our way. And so this morning, let's each of us reach out, just take Jesus as the lifter of our head, and let's say, Jesus, lift up my head. Would you say that? Jesus, lift up my head. Once again, Jesus, lift up my head. And then would you say, Jesus, be a shield around me. Jesus, be a shield around me. And then would you say, thank you, Jesus, for lifting my head and for being a shield around me, for protecting me and for healing me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Father, as we come before your word, we come, Lord, expecting you to share with us something that will be beneficial and profitable for us. We know all Scripture is inspired by God, and that it's all profitable for us to correct us and reprove us and to lift us up and to instruct us in the ways of righteousness. We do so want to be instructed in your ways, Lord, knowing they're higher than ours. Help us to see where we have missed yours and how we might rise up to walk in your ways. We commit this preaching time to you now, Lord, asking you to speak to us by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we thank you in advance. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning beginning from the 19th Psalm. And so if you have your Bibles with you, if you'll turn with me to Psalm 19, to one of the Psalms of David, a familiar psalm and a familiar portion of the 19th Psalm. We'll not read the whole thing. We're going to read just a part of it, beginning in the 7th verse. And I want to talk to you on a subject that I've had on my mind now for some months, and just kind of tucked it away and waiting for the moving of the Spirit of the Lord as to bring it. And today, I believe, is the time the Lord would speak to us about it. I want us to keep this in mind as we are reading and as we are sharing today. Before we were, if I might use the term, enlightened, prior to our having the Word of God opened up to us and having the truth manifested to us that God's Word is His will, our customary praying was done in this fashion: Lord, do thus and so if it be Thy will. Lord, give thus and so if it be Thy will. And an exceptionally high percentage of our praying was done with the tagline, if it be Thy will. Because we did not have an understanding of what the will of the Lord was, and because we did not have a good knowledge, good working and living knowledge on the Word of God, which is His will, we did most of our praying with that tagline, if it be Thy will. Little did we know at the time that in praying that way, we were praying double-minded prayers. That we were praying for salvation, if it be Thy will, not knowing that it is the will of God to save every person. We were praying for healing, if it be Thy will, not knowing that it was the will of God and is the will of God to heal every person. And so when we prayed, Lord, save so-and-so, or Lord, heal so-and-so, or Lord, bless so-and-so, if it be thy will, we were praying a double-minded prayer, which the letter of James tells us, a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways, and a man that prays double-minded prayers and wavering prayers is not going to receive anything from the Lord. And it is one of the primary reasons why in all of our Christianity, in all of our Christian living, before we became aware that the Word of God was the will of God, that we were unsuccessful in obtaining the promises of God. It wasn't God's fault, it was ours. Now, having learned that and having developed that truth from the Scriptures, we have, in some areas, we have developed the tendency to go to the other extreme and to never pray, if it be thy will. Because we have thought that it is always wrong to pray, if it be thy will. And that's not true. There are times when we should pray, if it be thy will. And when we do not pray that way, we are not operating in faith, but rather we are operating in presumption, and God's Word calls presumption sin. S-I-N. Say that. Sin. S-I-N. Presumption is sin. Now, with that background, this is the direction that we're going this morning, and I believe that there's not any person here this morning that does not want to avoid sin. Is there anybody who wants to sin and is willing to acknowledge it? I don't think there's anybody here that would not want to learn how to avoid sin. And this is the area that I believe the Lord wants to minister to us today. I'm beginning to read now in the 7th verse of Psalm 19. Now follow me carefully. This is not a terribly deep teaching, but I do want your careful attention. The law of the Lord is perfect. What is the law of the Lord? The Word of God is the law of God. And I want you to remember that, because a little later on we're going to be over in Romans, and I want you to recognize that. We're going to see the word law once again. The word law literally means the Word of God. The Word of God, or the law of God, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Now this whole passage, including the next few verses that I'm going to read, are talking about the Word of God. The law of God is the Word. The testimony of the Lord is His Word. The statutes and the commandments and the judgments of the Lord are His Word. And so all of these principles that we are learning here have their relativity to our circumstances in the fact that they are principles that concern the Word of God. Verse number 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. The psalmist is asking the question, which is a question that the answer is in the question. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. What he's saying is, what man always knows whether he's making an error or not? What man is there who always understands and knows when he is contrary to the law of God? And for that reason, because we do err without our knowing it, David said, cleanse me from my secret or my unidentified faults. Keep me clean from those things which I do not realize are wrong. Then the next scripture. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. What's he saying? Lord, keep me from doing what I think you want done when it is not what you want. That's presumption, and it is sin. That kind of thing can have dominion over me. Lord, protect me from any kind of presumptive sin, because it can dominate me and it can rule me. Now, if you will keep me free from that kind of sin, if you'll keep me free from transgression, from a presumption, and guard me, then I'll be upright before you and I'll be innocent of committing the great sin. And then he goes on to say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let my thoughts and let that which is coming out of my mouth be according to your word, not according to what I think your word is. Now, are you with me so far? We can act on that which is not the word of God, and those actions be imperfect. The word of God is perfect, but just because what we are doing we think is based on the word of God, if it's not, it is imperfect, it can be presumption, and it is sin, and we need to be cleansed from it. All right, now, let's go over to James chapter 4. And this would give us some insight. As you're turning to James chapter 4, let me just reiterate this. Presuming something to be the will of God without having His word on it is sin. Let me say that again. Presuming something to be the will of God without having His word on it is sin. How can I say that with such authority? James chapter 4 and verse number 13. Now, this passage of Scripture, I think we're all familiar with it. I don't believe I've ever preached on this passage of Scripture before. But perhaps you have, I'm sure you've encountered it in your Bible study, and perhaps you have heard it preached on. But it fits this message this morning. Verse number 13 of the fourth chapter of the letter from James. Go to now, ye that say. Now, that construction literally means behold now. And we would say, in the vernacular, we would say, listen up. Listen up. This is important. Pay attention. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't have the word of God on that. For what is your life? It is even a vapor, like a fog, that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I think the Living Bible, if I'm not mistaken, says that your life is like the morning fog, that by 9 o'clock in the morning is gone. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What is James saying? James is saying very carefully, or very clearly, when you do not have the word of God clearly given, to declare something to be the will of God in the absence of that word is presumption. And he says that to be boasting in that presumption and to be declaring that as the will of God is a four-letter word. What is that four-letter word? Evil. E-V-I-L. Evil. David said, guard me from presumptuous sin. A three-letter word. S-I-N. Sin. Anything that does not have the word of God on it and is declared to be the will of God is presumption and it's sin. Now, we could say, if we were in this situation, my original intent this morning was to preach along the lines of prosperity, and so I've kind of been thinking about some of these things. We have ample word from God that He wants us to be prosperous and to be blessed in that way, don't we? I mean, without going into all of those scriptures. Matter of fact, I may share that tonight, I'm not sure, in the area of prosperity. We have ample word from God that it is His will for us to prosper, don't we? How many of you know that we do? Okay. All right. 3 John verse 2 is a good starting place. Beloved, I wish above all things that ye prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Psalm 35 and 27, Philippians 4 and 19, and over and over and over again, we know that God wants us to prosper. But do we have in this word how God wants to deliver that prosperity to us, whether He wants us to obtain it in Douglasville or Villarica? Can you find that in here? Now, for you to say, I know that it is the will of God for me to prosper, is not presumption, that is faith, because we have God's word on it. But for you to say, it's the will of God for me to go to Villarica and get such and such a job and spend there 5 years and prosper, that is what? That is presumption, unless God has given you His word. And He can. I mean, He can speak apart from this book and give you a supernatural rhema on the fact that there's a job in Villarica for you, and that's where He wants to bless you. But without that, you are operating in presumption, and for you to be boasting, God is going to give me such and such a job in such and such a city, and I'm going to make such and such an income, and so and so and so, is for you to be operating in presumption, which is sin. Are you listening to me? Now, how do we distinguish then in our praying? Father, I thank You that You are prospering me, and I thank You, Lord, that Your will is to prosper me and to bless me and to meet the needs of me and my family, and I trust You for that. And not, I'm not praying, Lord, if it be Thy will, prosper me. I'm praying, thank You for Your prosperity. But when I am going for a particular job, I am saying, Lord, let me have that job, what? If it be Thy will. Now, don't you go snickering at people who pray, if it be Thy will. Listen for what they are praying about. If any part of this is the Word of God, it's all the Word of God. And if it isn't, it isn't worth preaching. If it isn't, it isn't worth believing. There is an appropriate prayer, if it be Thy will. James clearly says that when you say, well, I'm going to thus and so city, and I'm going to live there a year, and I'm going to open a business, and I'm going to do great, that is presumption, and that kind of boasting is evil. But rather we should say, if the Lord will, we shall go to such and such a city and open such and such a business and prosper there, and so on and so forth. Are you listening to me? And do you follow the principle that we are establishing here? We must be very careful that what we are declaring to be what we're believing God for is really promised in His Word. Now, Romans chapter number 2, just a brief reference here that establishes for us that the Word of God is the will of God, and that apart from His Word, you cannot walk in faith on the thing that you are trying to believe God for. You may be hoping, but you will not be believing. Now, you may call it believing, but it is not faith if it is not based upon the promise of God. It is only the promise of God that has the power to create faith. It's only the promise of God that has the ability, the power in it to produce faith. Hope, you see, will not produce faith. Wishing will not produce faith. And boasting in that kind of thing is evil and gets us in lots of trouble without our knowing it. Now, if that kind of thing has happened in your life, don't you jump in a hole and pull a lid up over you. You just say, well, thank God I'm growing up, and thank God I'm not as frequent in that kind of thing as I have been in the past. And let's grow up in it. Let's grow up in the Word of God rather than condemning ourselves. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 17 and 18. Watch this now carefully. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law. What did we say the law was? The Word of God, and maketh thy boast of God, and knoweth His will. Paul says, you know what the will of God is, and approvest those things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Now let me read it like this, verse 18. And knowest His will, being instructed out of the law. How do we know the will of God? by being instructed in the Word of God. By knowing the Word of God, that will give us the will of God. That will give us insight into the will of God. And that's the only place that we're going to get it. Now let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. And let's find one other place here where the word presumption or presumptuous is used, and it will give us some additional insight, I believe. See, many times we can think we have the Word of God, not really have it, be operating in presumption and not know it. That's why David said, "Oh Lord, guard me against that kind of thing. Don't let me fall into presumption. Don't let me do that." 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 10. "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." Now, I want to take just the middle out of that verse, and I want to put two words together, and I want you to see the relationship of them. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. Presumptuousness is self-will. Rather than the will of God, it is the will of self. I want it to be so, therefore I will believe that I have God's word on that. It's presumption. Does that make sense to you? Can you see the connection? Presumptuousness is an exaltation of our own will and of our own desires. And sometimes in our own earnestness and the deceitfulness of our flesh, we think that we have the Word of God on that, and we don't have God's Word at all. All we have is our own self-will. Now, when we act on that, we get ourselves in lots of trouble, in real deep trouble. All right? How are we going to get out of it if we do fall into that kind of thing? Even though we may guard ourselves carefully against it, and even though we may long for the protection of God, and even pray the kind of prayer David prayed in Psalm 19. I believe that's a good prayer for all of us to pray. It's a prayer that I pray for myself. Lord, I don't want to be in presumption. Lord, I don't want to do anything that's coming from my own will. I want that which is anchored in your word, because I know that your word is your will. Therefore, protect me, Lord, from stepping over into an area of presumption. I don't want to offend the Lord. I don't want to sin against him. I don't want to commit evil. I feel the same way that you do. But what should happen if I did get into presumption, or if you did get into presumption, and we were convicted of the Holy Spirit? Suppose here this morning, as we're talking about this, the Spirit of God, see, God doesn't tell me all what's going on in your life unless I have a need to know. But what he does do is give me the word to preach, and he tells me if I will preach the word, that he will use the word that I preach to open up inside you so that you can see yourself and you can see your own life. And of course, as I'm preaching, I'm listening to my own preaching. I have learned a great many things as I've listened to myself preach and have acted upon them as I've done so. And some of you are not aware that that's going on when I'm preaching, but that is, in fact, what's happening. What can you do? If you're convicted and you recognize that you have presumed something to be the Word of God, and it is not the Word of God, and that you have operated on your own self-will rather than on the will of God, first of all, you call it sin. You don't call it a mistake. You don't call it anything except what God called it. Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. And if God calls it sin and you won't call it sin, then you're going to hang on to it as long as you continue to operate in that. We've got to come to the place where we'll say, okay, Lord, I see that. That's sin. That's sin. And if it's sin, how do we deal with it? 1 John 1:9. Turn to that. 1 John 1:9. Sin has a very simple remedy. It's already been provided for by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And because of Jesus' sacrifice and our faith in him, God has the right to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our responsibility is to ask him for it, to acknowledge the sin for what it is, and then to take advantage of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now suppose we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, I missed it. And I was presumptuous and self-willed, and I'm sorry. What do you think God will do? He'll forgive. He'll do exactly as he said he would. All right, then how can we operate as far as understanding what's going on here? Let's go to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and I'll give you some sound advice from the wisdom of Solomon. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, one of the most frequently quoted passages in the Old Testament. But you'll be amazed to see how it fits this particular subject. This, by not obeying this verse, is how we get into so much trouble. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and following. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Now, what would you call that? Or presumption, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be the same thing? Don't be presumptuous. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he will guide thee and direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Depart from this kind of presumption. What will happen to you? What benefits? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In other words, it will restore you to where you were before you sinned. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from the fellowship of God. Sin messes, just flat messes things up. And when you're in the midst of that, when we commit sin, whether we realize we did or don't realize we did, when we're in that area, we are just flat messed up. And there's only one way to get reconstructed, and that is to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but let him give that guidance. If you have God's word on whatever it is that you're believing him for, or whatever it is that you're confessing, we hear a great deal about this business of confessing things into existence. You can confess God's promise into existence, but you cannot confess your own thing into existence. And you can confess your own thing until you're blue in the face or until you draw your last breath. And all you will bring is reproach upon the name of Christ and frustration to you. And folks who have not understood this very simple and very basic principle have taken the message of faith and the message of confession and used it to try to manipulate God. It does not work. You cannot manipulate God. It is appropriate where you do not have the promises of God to simply say, Lord, I don't know what your will is in this matter. This is my desire. There's a real good job over there at Villa Rica. It looks real good to me. Are there any good jobs in Villa Rica? The streets of Villa Rica will be filled tomorrow morning with Christians looking for these good jobs. Eh? Lord, there's this real good job over there in Villa Rica. And I think that'd be a good job for me, Lord. And I would really like to have it. If it be thy will, prosper me through that job. See? There's nothing wrong with that prayer, and don't you condemn somebody for praying it that way, because then you're twice guilty, see? You're guilty of presumption, and you're guilty of judging your brother. So be real careful about that. Where you have the Word of God and where you've got the promise of God, put that thing down and get up on top of it and stand on it and believe God until hell freezes over. You'll have the promise. And be single-minded about going after the promises of God. But don't put God's stamp or signature upon your own self-will. That's dangerous ground. It is evil boasting. It is sin. And it'll really mess your life up. So let's be real careful about that. Let me ask you to join me now in a time of prayer. Father, we would simply pray the same prayer that David prayed. If it was good enough for him, it's good enough for us. We acknowledge that your word is perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure. It endures forever, it's true and righteous altogether. We agree that the principles of your word and the truths therein are more to be desired than all of the riches of this life. And we confess, Lord, that by your word we are adequately warned, and in keeping of your laws, that there's very great reward. But Father, we recognize that there are things that we can do and not understand that they are error. We can have the very sincerest of intents, but because of the deceitfulness of our flesh and the lust of our own desires, sometimes, Lord, we are in error there and not know that we are. Father, we would ask you to cleanse us from the secret faults. Cleanse us, Lord. Make us clean from those evils that we've committed that we didn't even know that we did. And perhaps even today, Lord, that we are not to the place where you can show us clearly. But we just ask you if there's anything in us that offends you or displeases you or is contrary to your word, Lord, cleanse us from those things. And then we would ask you, Lord, to keep us back from presumptuous sins. Keep us back from doing those things that are as a result of our own self-will and putting your seal and labeling them with your name. Do not let them have dominion over us, Lord. Do not let these things lord over us because of our youth in spiritual things. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord. We recognize that you are our strength and our Redeemer. Don't let us even think those things that are not according to your word. And, oh God, prevent us from speaking them forth. Heal us, Lord, and forgive our sins and forgive our evil boastings, any area that we've walked separated from your word. Cleanse us, make us whole. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we receive that cleansing. We receive that forgiveness. We receive that protection. We receive thy shield round about us. We receive the ministry of your word today, and we receive the follow-up ministry of your Holy Spirit, even as we have prayed. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you do not require us to be perfect in all of our ways. You desire it for us, but that is not a requirement. But you simply require us that when we miss the mark, that we acknowledge that we did and ask you to forgive us. What a wonderful, wonderful relationship that gives us with you. Lord, if there's someone here today who has presumed to be saved on a basis other than the will of God, if there's someone here that is presuming that he or she is going to go to heaven simply because you're a nice guy, and has not acknowledged himself as a sinner in need of salvation. If there's someone here, Lord, who has not yet exercised faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and trusted in him alone for his salvation, Lord, would you gently prick that heart by your Spirit? From our very first experience with you, Lord, we want it to be experience of faith based upon the clear word of God, not a presumption based upon the way that we hope things are. Your word tells us that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Your word tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your word tells us that every man is in need of a Savior because the wages of sin is death. And every man is consigned to death because of his sin. But you further said that the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, cause faith to rise up in the hearts of the lost this morning. Cause saving faith to reach up and grab hold of those who are at this particular moment not saved. We trust you, Lord, to bring salvation, the experience of salvation, the reality of it, to the heart and life of every person who is under the sound of my voice today. Now, if you're here in the congregation today and you are not saved, you know that you're not saved. Your relationship with God is not what it ought to be. There's this uneasiness in your heart. You know that something's missing. You've been listening to what I've been saying. You've been listening as we've been praying, and the Holy Spirit has gripped your heart this morning as we've been praying here just now. You want to be saved? Just pray this with me. Just say to yourself right there where you're sitting, just pray this prayer. Father, just speak it to yourself now, just between you and God. Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. That's the first step. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for it. I want to change. But I know I can't do it by myself. I need your help. Just pray that with me. I need your help. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, Father. And I ask you to cleanse me. Take this guilt away from me, Lord, and give me your peace. I believe that Jesus is your Son. I believe He died for me. I believe He paid the price for my sins. I believe that He rose again, that He's alive today, and that He loves me. Jesus, I take you as my Savior. I trust and rely upon you and on you alone for my salvation. I invite you to come and live in my heart. Make your dwelling place inside me and help me. I promise with your help to live for you, to resist sin for as long as I live. Jesus, I thank you. Just say that now. Jesus, I thank you for saving me. I thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you with all my heart, Jesus. Amen.